Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Just delighted that you're with me here on this Wednesday. I hope your New Year's Day was just glorious. I hope you celebrated. I hope your team won, unless of course it was playing my team, the Tennessee Titans, and I hope that you've had a great launch of your new year. We are in a great time in the Word of God, and I want to just welcome my dear friend David Holland, who's joining me as we process these truths. Dave, great to have you with me.
Hi, Stephen. Happy New Year to you still.
You know, I am really excited about what Derek is teaching here, especially today, because as he's been talking about marriage and God being a matchmaker, there's the tendency for the single to feel like perhaps marriage is the only proper estate for a Christian. Well, I think Derek's going to deal with that today, and I'm excited for it.
Absolutely. There's a lot of misunderstanding, misinformation out there about that, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, this is perfect. So this is a great way to launch into the new year by strengthening our marriages and also getting a clear vision as to who we are as either single people or married people. So let's get right to the Word and listen as Derek teaches us about the call to remain single.
In my previous talks this week, I've established certain basic facts which are necessary for a proper understanding of marriage. And let me add that today, in our contemporary culture, there are few people who do have a proper understanding of marriage. This is what I believe to be the Bible's evaluation of marriage and the way to achieve successful marriage. First, the Bible places much greater importance upon marriage than most of us realize. Second, in his teaching on marriage, Jesus went right back to God's purpose in creation. He refused to accept any lower standard. Third, in the record of creation, we find four successive phases in the establishment of marriage. First, it was God's decision, not Adam's. Second, God formed Eve for Adam. Third, God brought Eve to Adam. And fourth, God established the terms of their relationship. I believe that all these four principles still apply today in the outworking of God's purpose for marriage in our lives. But before we can begin to apply these principles in our lives, logically, there is one question which each of us must face. And the question is this: is it God's will for me to marry at all? Or does God want me to remain single? It's this question I'm going to deal with today. I'm going to turn to the writing of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, a chapter which is entirely devoted to marriage and related themes. In verses 1 through 3, Paul opens the chapter this way, and apparently he's answering questions that the Corinthian Christians had directed to him. Now, for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to marry. But since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. So Paul says, in order to avoid immorality, it's important that every man have his own wife, every woman have her own husband. Nevertheless, he says, that isn't necessarily God's will for everybody. But if the alternative is immorality, then marriage is what God demands. He continues a little further on in that chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 6 and 7. Having said this, he goes on, I say this as a concession, not as a command. In other words, he's not commanding every man to marry or every woman to marry, but he's saying it because so often the alternative is simply immorality or frustrated, unfulfilled desires. Then he sums up with a little personal comment. I wish that all men were as I am. That is, of course, unmarried, single. But each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now, that word gift there is a very interesting word. It's a word that a lot of people are very busy with today. It's the word charisma. Many Christians don't realize that the ability to find fulfillment without being married is a charisma. The word charisma means a gift or of God's grace. It's something that God supernaturally imparts by His grace. It sometimes amuses me when I'm with people who are not Catholics that they're so busy talking about charismata or spiritual gifts and the various gifts they have or want to have, but very seldom do I hear those who are not Catholics talking about the charisma of being single. And yet, it's one of the charismata that are mentioned in the New Testament. So Paul says, that's my charisma. I'm very happy that way. I could wish all of you were just as happy as I am the same way. But, he says, I realize that's not going to be so. Because my being able to live happy and fulfilled without marriage is a charisma. It's a special distribution of God's grace given to me in His sovereignty. And if you don't have that charisma, he's implying, you'll never find that happiness and that fulfillment. You'll probably be frustrated. You may be tempted into immorality. Now, let's make a few comments on those words of Paul. First, as I've said already, let me emphasize again, the ability to find fulfillment without being married, living single, is a charisma. But it's exemplified by two of the main characters of the New Testament. Paul is one. And whom do you think I have in mind beside Paul? Of course, it's Jesus. And yet I think many, many Christians don't realize that that charisma is demonstrated in the life of Jesus. He never married. The second comment I wish to make is this, that God is sovereign. He makes the decisions. I want to emphasize this all the way through. He decides whether we are to be fulfilled in marriage or in a single life. And if it's marriage, then He decides whom we are to marry. This matter is so important that God does not leave the initiative with man. Many, many tragedies of unfulfillment and frustration have come into the lives of many believers because they have not been willing to leave this initiative in God's hands. The third comment I wish to make is this, that as I see it in the Scripture, singleness is the exception, not the rule. It's normal for men and women to marry. But in special cases, for His own purposes, for His service and for His glory, the Lord distributes to certain men and to certain women the ability to find fulfillment and to serve God on the highest level without being married. I think it's probably easier for a woman to achieve that than a man. If you consider the career of Paul as outlined in the New Testament, it's obvious that he could never have made any woman happy because he wouldn't have been with her very, very little. So we see the wisdom of God.
You know, I love the way Derek presents this whole calling to singleness. It's not for everybody. It's not even for the majority. But it is a calling on the lives of some, a calling of consecration to the Lord, a calling of engaging in a kind of victory over the desires of the body. I think it's a noble and a beautiful thing, but it is a calling. And when Derek says it's not normal, he doesn't mean it's abnormal. He simply means it's not the usual thing for the Christian. What a beautiful thing the single life can be if it's the calling on your life. More to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Choosing a mate is one of the most important decisions you will ever make. So how do you make the right choice? In his enlightening book, God is a Matchmaker, Derek Prince gives practical biblical advice on how to avoid heartbreak by preparing for marriage God's way. Derek shares from personal experience how God led him to marriage, and he reveals how others in your life, such as parents, pastors, and trusted friends, can play an important role when making life-changing decisions. Normally $12.95, this powerful and practical resource is yours for a limited time for only $9.95. Order your copy or get one for someone you love when you call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Life is not a fairy tale, but there is a happily ever after when you follow God's plan. Order God is a Matchmaker now. And when you do, we'll also include Derek's helpful booklet, The Choice of a Partner, at no extra charge. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771 or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, delighted to be with you and delighted also that we're touching on such an important topic today. You know, I was a pastor for 21 years and I loved the single people in my church and the single life, but it was a matter of wrestling. It was an issue that they had to battle through theologically. Derek Prince is just about to answer the question, how can you know if you should remain single? You know, there's probably someone in your life that you ought to call and have them listen to what's coming up. Let's listen to Derek teach.
The third comment I wish to make is this, that as I see it in the scripture, singleness is the exception, not the rule. It's normal for men and women to marry, but in special cases, for his own purposes, for his service and for his glory, the Lord distributes to certain men and to certain women the ability to find fulfillment and to serve God on the highest level without being married. I think it's probably easier for a woman to achieve that than a man. If you consider the career of Paul as outlined in the New Testament, it's obvious that he could never have made any woman happy because he wouldn't have been with her very, very little. So we see the wisdom of God. Finally, this is my fourth comment, to miss God's plan either way is to miss God's highest. To get married when you should be single, or to stay single when you should be married, or to marry someone God has not appointed for you, all those are errors which will cause you to miss God's highest will for your life. Now I'm going to deal with a very important and practical question which arises out of what I've been saying. The question is this, how can you know if you should remain single? I want to suggest three steps that you need to take to answer this question. Step number one, commit your life to God without reservation. Don't hold anything back. Don't try to make your own plans. Don't impose your prerequisites on God. Just tell God, here I am, take me as I am in the name of Jesus. Make me what you want me to be, and use me the way you want to use me. The second step is ask God to show you his will in this important matter. Don't just grope. Don't just speculate. Ask God for clear direction. Here's a beautiful pattern prayer, which is one of my favorite prayers from all of the Bible. It's in Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5, a prayer of David. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Would you pray that prayer? Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. If you pray that out of a sincere and believing heart, I am sure that God will show you if you're willing to be shown. The third piece of advice I wish to give in this connection is this. It's negative. Do not move either way without positive direction. One of the simplest and most practical pieces of advice outside of Scripture that I ever received was this. If you don't know what to do, don't do it. And I'll pass that on to you. If you're not sure about marriage or whom to marry, don't do it. Don't move either way without positive direction. This is what Paul says about living single, a little further on in that same 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Whatever your calling is, whatever your position is, stay in it until God moves you out of it. And a little further on in the same chapter, verse 24, brothers, each man as responsible to God should remain in the situation God called him to. How do you know that you're in the situation? I believe one main way is that as long as you're walking in the will of God, you'll have a deep, settled peace. Let me read the Amplified Bible version of Colossians 3:15. And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from the Christ, rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds, in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live. So if you let God's peace arbitrate in your heart, it'll show you in what state you've been called to live. If you lose your peace, it's a warning that you're probably beginning to move out of the place that God has put you in. Let God's peace arbitrate, make the decisions, finally settle the questions that rise in your heart. Finally, let me add this. If you do decide that you are called to remain single, this will probably affect other aspects of your life. In particular, you'll specially need the close fellowship of committed believers of your own sex. Remember, Genesis 2:18 is still true. It is not good for the man to be alone. May God help you to make the right decision.
Ah, Derek has just spoken about one of the most important scriptures in the Bible for my life, and he's done so from the original Greek language. You know, the Bible does not say, let the peace of Christ rule over your heart. That's not what the Greek means. It actually means let the peace of Christ umpire or referee over your heart. It's telling us that there's a way we can make decisions that have to do with whether there's peace in our heart regarding our options. And when it comes to the single life, that certainly is a decision that should have the peace of Christ attached to it. May the Lord give you wisdom if you're trying to make that decision. So much more to come. As Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Of the millions of choices we make in life, choosing a mate is one of the most significant. And yet, with nearly half of all marriages ending in divorce, it appears that we either make the wrong decision or simply change our minds. In his booklet, The Choice of a Partner, Derek Prince explores God's plan for finding a spouse and sheds light on what true love really is. Marriage is intended to be for life, and Derek's powerful booklet, The Choice of a Partner, will help you better understand how to find and stay with your mate until death do you part. It's such an important resource that we want you to have a copy absolutely free. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Both the call and this helpful resource are absolutely free. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or request your free copy of Derek's booklet, The Choice of a Partner, when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, thrilled that you're with us here today on this Wednesday. Again, I apologize for my raspy voice, but been speaking a lot and doing a lot of media, and I know that you're praying for me, and I trust that we'll break through this, but I didn't want to miss my time with you. I also didn't want to miss my time with two of my dear friends. First of all, Christopher Selby is here. He's not only a grandson of Derek Prince, but also the executive producer of our program. Christopher, great to have you here.
Hey, Stephen.
And of course, my buddy and partner crime, David Holland, is here. He's one of the producers of the program and also a man who brings great insight for us. David, thanks for being here.
Hi, Stephen. Thanks. You know, I'm really enjoying the teaching that Derek's bringing us all this week about the nature of marriage and also the nature of finding the one you're supposed to marry, the one God has for you. And you know, I think, right, particularly here in America, particularly in this age in which we live, we've been so infused with Hollywood's concept of how you're supposed to find a wife. There's supposed to be sparks initially. There's supposed to be courtship and romance and violins and all these kinds of things. And I know, Christopher, you know, that wasn't exactly the way God put you and your bride together. Tell us a little bit about that, because I know that God did something special there that we can learn from.
Yes, the more I listen to this teaching today about being called to be single, the more I'm grateful the Lord did not call me to be single. And it was a great way that he did that. I spent some years quite a while ago traveling in full-time ministry, doing drama ministry. And my future wife did as well, and that's where we met. But it was not the fireworks. It wasn't the sparks at first. We just traveled in ministry, and we spent a lot of time together and became very close friends, became best friends. But just one morning, but there was nothing romantically involved. But one morning, during my morning prayer time with the Lord, I heard this voice that said, "I want you to ask Christy to marry you." To which my response was, "I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus." there was nothing in me that that responded to that as, "Oh, this is the Lord." And I wrestled with it for a while, and finally got up the courage to ask her and asked her about praying and fasting about becoming my wife. Now, I completely expected her to say no, reject that, because I, you know, at this point I felt the Lord had just said, "I want you to ask Christy." And I figured that she'd say no, the Lord would teach me some important lesson from it, and I'd move on. But I asked her, and she said, "I knew you were going to ask me that."
Wow.
I got a little nervous, because now it felt pretty real. So, sure. The Lord had been working on her heart as well. And a year later, we were married, and in a few months, that'll be 13 years ago.
That is absolutely amazing. That goes completely against the traditional view of the wooing and the courtship. And yet anyone who knows you and Christy, and this is a remark I've made about both of you guys to other people in the past, those guys are so good together.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, the things you guys like to do, the things you enjoy, your personalities, your senses of humor, you guys are very, very good together. Do you think that that is in part because you were very good friends before there was any of that romance stuff you know, involved in the atmosphere?
Absolutely. Our relationship is founded on the fact that we are each other's best friend. And, you know, that was something that was established over a period of time before there was any romance. And let me tell you, there's plenty of romance now. I'm head over heels in love with her. And this is certainly not a marriage of, well, the Lord told us to get married and we're married and we kind of go about it. And, you know, that aspect, the romance, the sparks did come later. But, the foundation of our relationship is our friendship.
You know, Derek's book, God is a Matchmaker, really brings a lot of light, Christopher, into this way, the variety of ways that God can use to get two people together that he wants to be working together in his kingdom for a lifetime, doesn't it?
It does. And you know, I've told my story over and over again, and it's fun to tell, but I by no means insist on this being the only way that the Lord can bring people together. But it is an interesting way, and it always excites me to hear from other people who have had that similar experience.
That book by Derek Prince, God is a Matchmaker, is our featured resource all this week on Derek Prince Legacy Radio, and you can make it yours for the special price for a limited time of $9.95. It's regularly $12.95. You can call for it at 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261, or you can get it online at derekprince.org. That's Derek Prince's God is a Matchmaker.
You know, David, it impresses me that what people say about Chris's marriage is how great they are together. What people say about your marriage and mine is what in the world is she doing with him?
No, they say that about mine as well.
Unbelievable. All of us, I think, married up, and I'm thankful for it.
Absolutely.
You know, there's really not a better time than now at the beginning of the year to make commitments to improve the marriage. One of the things, I have a wonderful marriage to a dear woman, but I know that you two too, both of you do as well. But, you know, let's make commitments to be even stronger by December 31st, 2008. Let's not just coast and ride along. Let's continue to embrace the cross. Let's continue to lay down our lives. Let's continue to study our wives and learn the unique creatures they are and how we can sort of help them and be sort of the guardian coach that Ephesians 5 calls us to be. Guys, great having you with me.
Oh, thank you, Stephen.
Thanks, Stephen.
Listen, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure and join us tomorrow. So much more wonderful stuff to come. But for everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. We'll see you tomorrow as the legacy continues.
To order your copy of Derek's encouraging book, God is a Matchmaker, give us a call toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is just $9.95. And when you order, be sure to request your free copy of Derek's insightful booklet, The Choice of a Partner, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or order both resources securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at derekprince.org.